All right, aren't you thankful for the wonderful name of Jesus? Amen. And praise the Lord for that song, and thank the Lord for it. How many of you love Calvary Baptist Church? Amen. Aren't you thankful for it? And boy, what a year it's been. Hasn't been a wonderful year, and it's hard to believe it's already June. My wife looked at me last night, and she said, we're only halfway to Christmas. Amen. And how many of you are Christmas lovers? All right. And that's good. That's wonderful. But it's been a great year, and I sure am thankful for this church and thankful that we can labor together for the Lord. And I'm so thankful for our pastor and thankful for him. If you're a guest with us tonight, please come back on Sunday and hear him preach the Word of God. You'll love it, and you'll love just the wonderful service that we'll have. But I'm thankful for this opportunity and for the privileges to open God's Word. A lot of you have been asking me about the facial hair here, the goatee thing. And my brother Joe said, you don't look like a baby anymore, Tom. So I was like, that's good. But my next step is to just shave everything off the top and just go bald so that me and Mike McKinney can be twins. And so that'll be great. I'm just picking. So that's good. Back in December of last year, just about 6 or 7 months ago, I was given the privilege to preach, and we'd spoke about a revival of praise and worship in the life of a Christian, a revival of praise and worship in the life of the believer. And I've been doing a personal study on this, and the Lord brought me back to that and a different aspect of the praise and life of a Christian. So if you have a copy of God's Word, I'd like us to go to the book of Job, chapter 1. The Old Testament book of Job, chapter 1. And how many of you love the Word of God? Amen. And are thankful for it. And we're thankful that God's given us a copy of His Word. And praise the Lord for it. Job chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse number 13. If you're there, say amen. If you're there, Job chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "And there was a day when his sons," speaking of Job, "and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they had slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." For sake of time, skip down to verse number 18. Verse 18, are you there? Bible says, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And Job is going through a deep, deep valley. He's lost his possessions, he's lost his cattle, and now he's lost his children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And then we come to verse number 20, maybe a place where some of us find ourselves tonight. The Bible says, "And Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground." I'd like you to notice these next two words, "and worshiped." And worshiped. "And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." If you're in the habit of underlining scripture or highlighting, I'd like to encourage you to underline that phrase, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then these next few words, and all this. Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. How many of you have ever had a day that just did not go according to your plan? Would you raise your hand, please? Maybe today. How many of you, that was today? All right, that was today. And I have had quite a few of those days where you have everything scheduled, you've got everything planned out, you've got everything ready to go. And a particular day that I can remember, my wife and I, we were dating, and this is before we were married, and it was during the summer, and Pastor had let me stay in the old men's dorm. I think the Verns used to live there. It's where the Help Ministries missionaries are across from the Christian school, And we were having a date that night. I was so excited about it. We're probably going to Chick-fil-A or something like that. And I'm just picking, all right? But we're probably going somewhere nicer than that, all right? If there can be a nicer place than Chick-fil-A. I'm not sure if there is one, okay? But I remember I was kind of in a rush. It was kind of late, and I put my car into reverse to go pick her up. And I, Brother Vern, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I put in reverse, and I ran into this little wall that was there. You know what I'm talking about? And I blew the tire out. And I had to make that phone call and say, Tiffany, is there any chance you could come and pick me up over here? And how many of you have ever had a blown tire or something like that happen unexpectedly, all right? I had a tire go out on me just this last weekend, and it wasn't very fun, and all those kind of things. Maybe you're a mother, and you're rushing out of church on a Sunday morning, and a baby has a messy diaper or something like that. Those are not fun instances, are they? Or a day that, or just you had everything planned out and you got stuck in traffic, or you just the frustrations of the day. And all these little instances I just mentioned maybe are frustrations or inconveniences, but nothing compares to the day that Job has here. Some of you have, maybe you can relate to a type of day that Job has. You get a phone call that you have cancer. You get a call that you never want to hear, that your dad or mom or son or daughter or grandchild has passed away. You get a call that you have a major physical trial. You lose a loved one. Maybe you lose your job. A day that maybe is not inconvenient, but it's a day that completely changes everything in your life. And I want to propose to you tonight, based on God's word, God deserves praise in every single situation of life, even when we don't understand. God is a good God. He deserves all praise, even when life sometimes does not make sense. And so let's look at this day that Job had and part of his life, and let's see what God has to say to us tonight in 2019 from God's word. Number one tonight, if you're taking notes there, I would like us to see the ruin of Job's possessions. The ruin of Job's possessions. We read verse 13, but look at verse number 16, would you please? It says, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from the servants and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and hath consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And God has given Satan permission as a sovereign God to test and to tempt Job. And Job was a man that had a lot of things. He had a lot of possessions. He was wealthy. He had been given a lot. Had worked hard for a lot. He had 7,000 sheep. Can you imagine having 7,000 sheep? He had 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 donkeys. The Bible says he had chapter 1, says he had a very great household. You can imagine maybe a house, if you've ever been to the Biltmore before, something like that, the Bible says a very great household. He had seven sons and three daughters. If you could, look at verse number 7 of chapter 2, would you please? Chapter 2, verse 7. This is later on in the Word of God, obviously. And the Bible says in verse 7 of chapter 2, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And can you imagine Job with these boils all over his body? I remember I was a kid and we were on vacation. I got a blister on my arm from the sun. How many of you had a blister on your arm or something like that before? That's no fun, is it? But can you imagine having blisters and sores covering your entire body? Probably no rest, no sleep, and constant agony and constant pain. And Job had lost his health. And look at just two verses down in verse number 9. Job had his wife turn on him and the Lord. The Bible says, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? And he looks at him and says, curse God and die. Can you imagine? going through that type of circumstance. And Job has lost his possessions. He's lost everything. Well, maybe you're sitting here tonight, what's the big deal of losing camels and livestock? What's the big deal? The truth is, back in these days, this was their only way of living. If they wanted to eat, if they wanted to have money to live, they had to have cattle, they had to have oxen, they had to have sheep to survive, all the clothing, all these different things. And Job had lost it. Some of you in this room have been through the loss of a child, but can you imagine losing all 10 of your children on one day? The burden, the struggle, the tragedy that he must be going through. I mean, put yourself in Job's shoes at this moment. And then the next chapter over, having that health trial, and then having his wife tell him to curse God and die. I mean, can you imagine going through this valley, going through this trial, through this circumstance? I think about back in the early 1900s, there was an evangelist by the name of George Young. And George didn't have very much and just lived just very small amounts of money coming in. He had a great family, wonderful wife, great children. And they used to travel from place to place in a tent. That's where they would sleep. That's where they would be with all each other and everything like that. When they would travel, they would just have a tent. That's all they had. And one day, they were able to build a great log cabin. And as they prepared that and got it all built up, boy, can you imagine the first day in that house, the first night in the house? And George writes about that first night, and they sang praises to God. They rejoiced. They shouted. They were so happy that God had blessed them fine with this temporary place to live, permanent place to live. Boy, it was so wonderful. They thanked the Lord for it. They gave the Lord praise. Well, a couple weeks went by. It was their next time to preach at his next preaching place. And they went. They packed their stuff up, and they left. And while they were gone, there were some young boys that hated the gospel, they hated God's word, and they hated what George Young had preached. And they lit a fire to that log cabinet, it burned to the ground, and the Youngs came back, and all they saw was just a pile of soot. All they saw was a burned-up house. There was nothing left. And if you look in your hymn book tonight, at page 96, you'll find a song, "In Shady Green Pastures, So Rich and So Sweet, God Leads His Dear Children Along." And Mr. Young wrote that song. The chorus, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the what? The fire, but all through the blood. And in a moment in Mr. Young's life when he lost it all, he lost that possession that was so wonderful to him, he was still able to praise the Lord. And so we see tonight, first of all, the ruin of Job's possessions. But let's look secondly at this point, and the meat of this message, and point number two, and let's look at this, the response of Job's testing. The response of Job's testing. Would you look at verse number 20 with me, please? Verse 20. The Bible says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" Amen. And so what was Job's response here to this testing, to this valley, to this trial? Well, let's take a look at it together, may we? Number one, under this, the Bible talks about that Job was sorrowful. Job was sorrowful. Letter A there, Job was sorrowful. Look at verse 20. Bible says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground." This, as I studied this mantle here, this was a very expensive robe. A very expensive robe. It was something that was given to guys that were maybe higher up or had a lot of wealth or a lot of money. Some of you maybe have purchased some of you folks may have purchased a nice dress or something, or a new piece of clothing or something nice, and then you ruin it a couple days later. That's no fun, is it? But Job took this mantle, he rent it, he tore it completely. Pastor Jason Gaddis in Oklahoma City, Southwest Baptist Church, he made this observation: position does not exempt you from sorrow. Position does not exempt you from sorrow. You may have a lot, you may be have given a lot, but the truth is, folks, everyone in this room is not exempt from sorrow. All of us have been through the valley or are going to be in the valley. He tore his mantle, number two, he shaves his head and then he falls to the ground. Can I say this, folks, tonight? These were normal and these were expected responses to what was going on here. These were normal things. There's sometimes a culture where, oh, Christians are supposed to be just happy and joyful and just bubbly and all the time and never can have any sorrow or never can have any hurt. If you look in the Bible, that's just not true. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time and every purpose under the heaven, a time to weep, a time to laugh, and a time to mourn. In his commentary on the book of Job, Francis Anderson made this observation. It is harder to say praise the Lord when he takes away than when he gives. How many of you can testify to that? It is harder to say praise the Lord when he takes away than when he gives. But can I encourage us tonight, Christians, from the Word of God? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, and ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And if you've got Jesus tonight, he's all that we need and all that we ever will need. And maybe you're sitting here tonight in the front, middle, or towards the back, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can I encourage you tonight to come to Jesus? Maybe you're going through something or you're facing a valley, and the truth is you won't be able to face it on your own. If you talk to other Christians in this room, they can testify that they might have had nothing, but when we've got Jesus, how could we want more? Amen. And when we've got the Lord, we have everything that we ever need. And Job was sorrowful. He was hurt. This was a natural reaction to what he had faced. Think about it, folks. He had lost his family. He had lost, in the next chapter, lost his health. He had lost his possessions. He lost everything that he had. And yes, he was sorrowful. Can I remind you tonight, Psalm 61, verse 2, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer from the heaven and the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed. Anybody's heart overwhelmed tonight? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I'm thankful that I have a rock and he is the Lord and he is higher than I. And maybe tonight you're overwhelmed. Can I encourage you to go to the Lord? We all know Psalm 23 and we love it, don't we? But don't forget what the Bible says in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley. We go through that valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Can I encourage you from the psalmist in Psalm 119:71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why is it good? Why is that a good thing? Why does he say, I've been afflicted, and that's a good thing? We can't fathom that, can we? In our own mind, in our own heart, that doesn't make any sense. But according to God, the Bible says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. That might draw closer to the Lord. So Job's first reaction, his first response was, yes, he was sorrowful. But secondly, I want you to see that Job was worshipful. He was worshipful. Let's look back at the verses again. Verse 20 and 21. Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground. What's the next two words, folks? And worshipped. And worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Job was worshipful. He praised and he worshipped God. Even through the valley, even through the turmoil, even through the struggle, Job learned to worship God. Can I just be honest with you, just be transparent. If this were me, this probably would not have been my response. Truthfully. I know we would kind of want to be like, well, if I went through this, I would worship God just like Job, and I would praise the Lord just like Job. I can't imagine losing my children, having my wife turn back on me and the Lord, losing my home, possessions, job, all these things. I can't imagine that. And this probably would not have been my response. I'd like you to look back at verse number 1 of Job chapter 1. Would you look there, please? Job 1:1, very first verse of Job 1. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil." You know what? Job was a man of God. He walked with the Lord. He had a deep, intimate, passionate relationship with God. And when this moment came up in his life, it was that he went back to, was his relationship with the Lord. I wrote this down. I want to encourage you to remember this thought. Job's purpose and meaning for life was not lost when he lost it all, because his meaning in life was for God. Job's purpose and Job's meaning for life didn't go away when he lost it all. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't give up. He didn't start grumbling, moaning, complaining when he lost it all, because his hope wasn't in any of those things. All those, listen, are you trying to say that I shouldn't love my family? No, don't misunderstand me. But Job's hope was in none of those things. Job's hope was in God and in God alone. What's he saying in verse number 21? "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." This is basically Job saying, listen, I am coming in this world with nothing, and when I leave this world, I ain't taking anything with me. "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return." All of his hope was in the Lord, all of his passion, and when all that stuff was taken away, it didn't affect him the way it would most of us, because he had his trust in God. His trust was in the Lord. Our family just got back from the Philadelphia area last week, and my parents treated us to a production of The Life of Jesus Christ at Sight and Sound. How many of you have ever been to Sight and Sound before? Would you raise your hand, please? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it amazing? And I've been going to it since I was a kid. It's about an hour and 15 minutes from where we grew up. And what they do is they take actors, whatever, and they put the Bible to life. And I've seen the Christmas account. I've seen Joseph. I've seen Noah. It really is amazing. But last year they showed the life of Jesus Christ. And saw all of his miracles. Saw everything. And it was so neat to see that put to life from what you read in the Bible. They had over a million people watch it last year. And this year it was so in demand, they showed it again. And one of the scenes that was portrayed, best way to describe it, is kind of like what we do out here with Journey Through Bethlehem. People come and they see the Bible put to life. And one of the scenes that impacted me the most is when Jesus came across the man that had leprosy. And the disciples and people around him were telling him to go away. He's unclean. And what does Jesus do? He gets down and he touches him and he heals the leper. And it seemed like, at that Sight and Sound last Tuesday, it seemed like for an entire minute, that actor there that played the leper, for just an entire minute, all he did was say, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" I mean, it probably was only 10 seconds, but it seemed like a minute. That kept ringing in my ear. You know what? What's the account in Scripture after that? Does Jesus say? He says, "Where are the 9? And the truth is, there was 9 others that Jesus had done the same thing for. And the truth is, folks, there's a lot of us in this room, including this preacher, that needs to be reminded of everything that the Lord has done for us. Remember, the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, the weeping prophet Jeremiah tells us, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new," what? "Every morning, great is thy faithfulness." Every single morning, we can have a fresh glimpse at God, because he's such a faithful God. And I'm thankful for it. God deserves praise. He does. He deserves it. He deserves everything that we can give to him, because he's a good God. He deserves praise. Do you know who doesn't deserve praise? Every single person in this room. No one. Not me, not you, no one. Sometimes we think we do, don't we? Well, I did a great job singing that song or whatever. The truth is, when we take the credit, who doesn't get the credit? The Lord. What did John the Baptist say in John 3:30? He must increase, but I must what? I must decrease. God deserves the praise. And number two, under this, Job is worshipful. God deserves no charge for doing wrong. God deserves no charge for doing wrong. Look at verse 22. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And if I could just repeat what I said just a few moments ago, if this were me, Tom Delp, going through this circumstance, my reaction probably would have not been what Job's was. But the Bible was very clear to point out, in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And what us Christians sometimes desire to do is we desire to put blame upon God for what we're going through. If I could make this quote from Francis Anderson, who wrote a commentary on Job, he made this statement. It was so challenging. I'd like to encourage you to write it down if you can. There are no accidents in a universe ruled by a sovereign God. There are no accidents in a universe ruled by a sovereign God. And there is a reason. Maybe your request, your valley, is not on the long prayer sheet that was given out early tonight. Maybe it's not there. Maybe very few people know about it. Or maybe no one knows about it. But you do. You and God. You know about that valley that you're facing right now. That moment that's difficult. It's a struggle. It's a trial. It's an adversity. It's a moment in your life where, like this day in Job, where maybe you're going through one of the things that Job went through. Maybe it's a physical struggle. Maybe it's a recent loss of a loved one. Maybe it's someone that's in your life that wants nothing to do with God. I was able to go to my brother Joe. He's a pastor. We support him, Open Door Baptist Church in Philadelphia. And there was a lady there that Katie, his wife, led to Jesus, and she was baptized the week before. She came because of a door-to-door outreach the church was doing, and she got saved there at Open Door Baptist Church in Philadelphia. And she was baptized Memorial Day weekend. And you know what her ex-husband and her family told her? They said, you need to go and get yourself checked out at a health institution. That's what they told her. And some of us need to remember that we serve a great God. And listen, he deserves no charge of wrongdoing. Remember the Bible says in Romans 8:28? We love the verse, don't we? And we know that all things work together for what? For good. To them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Can I encourage every single one of the believers in this church tonight, including me, to not grow bitter at what God's trying to do in your life? Bitterness is a hard place to be. One of my heroes, Brother Comfort, he always used to say, adultery has slain its thousands, but bitterness its tens of thousands. Bitterness is often not that hard to see. Sometimes it just comes up on social media and roundabout posts that instead of calling someone by name, they'll go in a roundabout way of talking about someone. And listen, that's not good. That's not scriptural. Can I encourage all of us in this room to not be bitter against something that God's trying to do? Maybe someone's hurt you. Maybe there's a circumstance in your life where physically it's a rough time in your life. Or maybe there's a financial situation that you're facing. You just don't quite understand. But can I encourage you? I think about the psalmist Rachel sang a few Sunday nights ago. The God on the mountain is the God in the valley. There's no difference between that at all because he's the same God. The God in the mountain is the God in the valley, and he will see you through. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God in the valley. Is it difficult? Is it hard? Yes. Is it a struggle? Yes. Sometimes it's easy to praise when the raise is there, or we got a new car, or had an answer to prayer or something, but truthfully, experientially, it's hard to praise Him through the valley, through the struggle, through the trial. I'd like to tell you about a man that lived in the 1860s by the name of Horatio Spafford. Some of you may be familiar with this. And Horatio Spafford was a lawyer. He was a businessman. Him and his wife Anna had 5 children. And when their only son was 4 years old, he passed away at the age of 4 from scarlet fever. Horatio Spafford owned a lot of homes. He was a businessman. He was a very wealthy man, but he was a Christian, a devout Christian that so much loved the Lord and walked with the Lord. And he lived in Chicago, and in the 1800s, when the great Chicago fire hit, he lost all of those homes that he possessed. Had all of his life savings was gone. All this happened within just a year, losing their son and losing all that material things that they had. Difficult, isn't it? And so he knew that him and his 4 girls and wife really just needed to get away, needed to take some time to rest and take some time for vacation. And so they were going to go to England. D.L. Moody was holding a preaching campaign there. They were going to go to England. And the day before they were supposed to leave, he got a business call. So he stayed back, and his wife Anna and their 4 daughters went on the boat. And about halfway through, the boat struck another ship, and down they went, and over 240 people perished that day, including all 4 of the Spafford's girls. Horatio Spafford got a telegram the next day. It said this. It was from his wife, who survived. "Saved alone. What should I do?" So the next day, he boarded a ship, and about halfway through, the pilot or the director of the ship had come to Horatio and said, "This is the spot, sir. This is the spot where the ship went down, the boat went down." And Horatio went out to the edge of that boat, and he took out a pen and he took out a piece of paper. I'd like you to take the hymn book that's there in the scene in front of you and look at number 145. Would you do that, please? Number 145. Majority of us in this room, we know and we love this song. It's a song that was penned by this exact man, Horatio Spafford. Page 145. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Verse 2, it's applicable to this passage we looked at tonight. "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul." Verse 3 is my favorite, but look at verse 4. "And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." How was a man like Horatio Spafford, who had lost all 5 of his kids, lost his possessions, had lost so much of what he had in life, able to pen such a truth that we sing and love today? How was a man like Job, who had lost it all, how was he able to say, "The Lord gave, the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord"? How was he able to worship? How was he able to praise? It's because he walked with the Lord. So can I ask me, can I ask you, can I encourage you to praise God in the valley? He's a worthy God. He's worthy of everything we can give Him. Can I ask you just to close your eyes and bow your heads there where you're seated, just for a few moments of time of invitation? Brother Danimus and Angie will come. But I have 2 questions. Say, "Brother Tom, as you preached tonight, you talked about how there is no hope unless we have Jesus. And maybe tonight you're sitting here in the back or middle or front, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You don't know Jesus." And I would say, "Brother Tom, tonight, just by lifted hand, I want to say that I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, would you please pray for me? I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you raise your hand high enough so I can see? Brother Tom, please pray for me. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you please pray for me? Anybody at all? Okay, my second question is this. Brother Tom, the Lord has convicted me through the message at some point. Maybe you're not going through nothing now, but you'll need the reminder to praise the Lord in the valley. Brother Tom, the Lord has convicted me about the message from the life of Job that I need to be reminded that God's worthy of all of my praise, no matter what the circumstance. And the Lord's challenged me about this tonight. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Hide me so I can see. Praise the Lord. Very good. Keep him up. Very good. Anybody else at all? Brother Tom, pray for me. I'll be glad to pray with you. Praise the Lord. Good. Let's stand together across the room, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you need help tonight, Brother Eco will be here at the front and be glad to pray with you. I'm going to pray. I'll turn the invitation back over to Pastor Vernon. But as Brother Dan sings and Miss Angie plays, you come and you do business with the Lord as he leads you to. This altar is open. Won't you come and do business with the Lord and talk to him? And let's do what God would have us to do tonight. Lord, I pray for the hands that were raised, those that were challenged. Lord, my heart has been so stirred and has been so convicted reading this passage these last days and weeks. And Lord, my heart's been changed and different because of it. I pray for those tonight that are going through trials, coming out of one, about to go through one. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling, they're hurting, that you would please encourage them in the Lord tonight. Help them to be reminded that blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. As Brother Dan sings, you come and you do business with the Lord.